appreciate the prayer and ask a continued interest in your prayers tonight as we notice Psalm 135. As we finish the Songs of Degrees, moving on now through the rest of the Psalms, we come to 135. Something interesting about this particular psalm is that, well, let's just read the first paragraph here, the notes. The verses of this psalm are either found elsewhere or are very similar to those in other scriptures. Yet it is a beautiful exhortation to the servants of the Lord to praise Him who is and for praise Him for who He is and for all of what He has done. So, my title for this, Exhortations to Praise for the Servants of the Lord. Now, in parentheses here, and I'm not going to go through all of this, but and maybe you can take this home and do the comparisons yourself, but Charles Spurgeon, in his notes, made the comparison. Verses 1 and 2 of this psalm, you'll find that addressed in Psalm 134, verses 1 through 3. And then for verses 2 and 3 of this psalm, you look at 116, verse 19, and so on. So this is a collection, and whether this was taken from others or written from memory, who knows? We're not told, but you'll find these verses elsewhere in Scripture. So whatever the reason for repeating them here, we know that the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired this. And regardless of where they were drawn from, it does make a beautiful psalm of praise, exhorting the servants of God in their service and in their praise to the Lord. Have we ever praised God as much as we should have? You know, there's been some good meetings. Before I get into the notes here, we've been in some good meetings from time to time where the Spirit of the Lord was strong and we were lifted up and it seemed like every song that's sung and every message that's been preached has been a praise to God. And I'm thankful for those seasons, aren't you? We need that from time to time, don't we? Afraid if we had it all the time, we'd probably get tired of it, you know, just knowing what we are by nature. We ought not to, but we might. But how wonderful it is when we have those seasons and when we're praising the Lord in such measure. Don't you wish we could do that every day? You know, maybe not necessarily sitting in a meeting every day, but have that spirit so strong with us that we'd have that desire to praise God all day long. We have days like that, and I'm thankful for that. We have weeks like that at times, and I'm thankful for that. But we know that we don't praise Him as much as we should. All right, let's begin in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Repeatedly throughout the Psalms, we're instructed to praise the Lord. This is an activity that brings joy to the souls of God's people, and it can encourage others who are cast down and who may not be of a mind to give God the praise He deserves. Have you ever been in a meeting where it seemed like somebody was just rejoicing, just full of the Spirit? And maybe you were sitting there and you were wondering what in the world they have to rejoice about. Sad to say that happens, doesn't it? And it's not so much there's a problem with that person, it's a problem with us, isn't it? Maybe we haven't been thinking about the Lord as much as we should. Maybe we haven't been reading the Word of God as much. Maybe we haven't been giving time to prayer. And we come and we're dry and an empty vessel, needing to be filled, but for some reason we just don't have that desire like others. Well, when we are full of the Spirit and when we are rejoicing, then we can encourage others. You know, now when somebody's trying to have a pity party, they don't want to be comforted, do they? They usually just want to stay there. But But there are times when we can be a real encouragement to somebody else. And we ought to be doing that. All right? Because there'll come a time when somebody needs to encourage you. We need it both ways, don't we? It is the high honor of God's people to do this. But sadly, there are many of his children who will go through their entire day receiving the bounty of God's love and mercy without ever uttering a word of praise or thanksgiving. Now that's sad, isn't it? Go through the day. Because we know the word tells us that he daily loads us with benefits. So there's not a day that we have ever lived that God didn't bless us abundantly. So there's not a day we've ever lived that he shouldn't have received abundant praise from our heart and from our lips. But sometimes we get distracted, don't we? Sometimes we got our mind on other things. We ought to be praising God. And this little psalm exhorts us to be praising God. Never let a day go by without praising God. Verse 2, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. You know that's right, don't you? He is good, and praises are pleasant. I enjoyed the singing tonight, didn't you? I tell you, I just marvel at God's wisdom in preparing a service that we would have a time of singing and then preaching. That helps tremendously. All right? No doubt it was beautiful to hear the praises of God sounding forth from God's house and the courts of his temple. You know, there was millions of people in the children of Israel. And I can't remember a number that I've read where it told how many people were appointed as singers. But I know they were. I know that there was a lot more order and division and many more offices in the church back then than we have today. When you've got millions of people, you're going to have more organization to accomplish things. But I'm still glad we have what we have today. And I'm sure their singing was beautiful. When you've got millions of people to choose from, you're going to pick the best singers, aren't you? And I'm sure their singing was beautiful. But I tell you, we have beautiful singing too today, don't we? But just like God looks upon the heart and not on the outward appearance, he listens to the spirit more than he does the audible sound of our voice. Aren't you glad? But nevertheless, we have beautiful voices today. You know, and I've, all of my ministry, I've tried to encourage God's people to sing more. Because some places I've been, they didn't care much for singing. And I remember Brother Bill Deloney, I remember encouraging them one time about singing, and Brother Bill spoke up and said, Preacher, you don't want to hear me sing. Well, God does. It might not be pleasant to my ears as far as the sound of it, but if it's praise to God, God overlooks. He's not interested in how raspy the voice might be or whatever, or off key or anything like that. He's able to discern the praise. Just like in our prayers, he's able to discern the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So praise, real praise, no matter what it sounds like, real praise is acceptable to the Lord. All right, let's get back to the notes. And while there were those who were appointed as singers in the Old Testament worship, every believer is now exhorted to sing praises to the Lord as his priests and kings. Aren't you glad that all of us can sing praises to the Lord? Rather than being like the heathens who waste their affections being under fleshly influences, we're exhorted in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, saying, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Remember, we've gone over that before. We're talking about that filling there. It's not like this glass fills the volume of the glass. We're not talking about that kind of filling. We're talking about being under the influence of. So that's why we have the contrast there where it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit," under the influence of the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves how? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. That's acceptable praise to Him, and it's not limited to the church house. Aren't you glad? We can spend our day with a song in our hearts, a prayer upon our lips. Well, I tell you, it just rejoices my heart when I'm out in public and you walk past somebody or something, you can hear them humming or singing a hymn of praise to God. Sometimes it's one of the old hymns that we sing and we recognize it right off. Sometimes it's one of the newer songs that's been sung or written. But if they're praising God, you know, the words the words are important, but, you know, whatever it is, if they're praising God, then that's a beautiful sound, isn't it? All right. Now I'm talking about real praise. All right. And you can also find in Colossians 3:16 a very similar passage to what we read to you from Ephesians 5. So this is how we should be redeeming our time. Now that's also part of that expression in that section of Ephesians 5. Redeem the time because the days are what? Evil. I tell you, listen to the news for a while. It'll bring some evil thoughts to your mind. But we need those good things flowing from our heart, coming across our lips, speaking, having those good thoughts within us and coming forth in praise and adoration to our God. I tell you, that'll help us. That helps our mood. It helps our spirit. It helps our very soul to be fed on the things of God. No matter what we have to face in this world, God's in control of that. The more we think about Him, the more we set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth, the better off we'll be. All right. So, this is how we should be redeeming our time. God is so good to us every day. Anybody believe that? Thank you. Because He is. I've already quoted that verse out of Psalms where it talks about He daily loadeth us with benefits. So there's no argument there that God's not good to us every day. Now, I know people have terrible burdens to bear. But God's still good to us every day. We don't really deserve anything, do we? But oh, that's why we love grace. Grace. When Brother Evan was praying tonight, you heard a sermon in that prayer tonight. The gospel, Jesus came and redeemed us and rose again, coming back to get us. I tell you, that's good news. No matter what burden we have to bear in this life, if we keep that in mind, it gives us something to hold on to. Something to hold on to. So can we not render to Him the praises due to His matchless name? Are we so busy we can't do that? You'd have to be awful busy not to even be able to get in some praise during the day. I don't know too many people who are that busy. But nevertheless, that's what we ought to be doing, praising His matchless name. Verse 4. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. You know, that word peculiar in the Bible has reference to special. Special. And we have to make that distinction between Bible words and the English that was used when this was translated and how we commonly use the word today. When we say somebody's peculiar today, we talk about strange. We talk about odd. We're talking about maybe they're somebody you don't want to be around. Listen, we're talking about this peculiar treasure we're talking about are the people of God. They're His special people because He chose them. He chose to redeem them. Jesus came and redeemed them. They will be with Him in glory, and we'll rejoice together with that special people, world without end. That's the kind of peculiar we're talking about here in this verse of Scripture. All right? Long before Israel had an existence, God was speaking of what they would be. Remember those passages early in Genesis where God begins to deal with Abraham and promise that he'll have a seed and they'd be like the stars of heaven? Don't you love that passage when the Lord told him that his seed would be like the stars of heaven? And that was a promise that was going to be many years before it was going to be fulfilled. And no doubt there were many times that Abraham wondered when. I don't know if he ever doubted that it would. I can't, you know, speculate on that because that's all it would be, is speculation. The Bible's silent on that. But I can tell you this, I just have to wonder if he didn't wonder just when, because he went a long time, didn't he, before that promise. But you know what? God gave him that visual. And every night when the stars came out, he could look up there and say, Lord, You said my seed was going to be like the stars of heaven. And I tell you, some nights when you go out there, there's a bunch of stars, isn't there? That'll be a lot of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so forth. But God gave him that special promise and told him. Also likened them to the sands of the seashore. That's a lot. That's a lot of blessings. Well, that's the way God works. All right. So, by the mention of Jacob, we see God's choice. God's choice of him and not Esau, pointing us to the doctrine of election. That doctrine that we love so much, we love it because it's the truth of God's word. That's what God did. And I'm thankful that he did it that way, because we by nature would never have chosen him. And yet that's what the vast majority of Christianity calls upon you to do today. But that doctrine of election, hated by many, and I'm talking about many of God's people, yet if they could just understand it, they'd be rejoicing in it like we do. Now, that doesn't make us any better than them. We don't have anything to boast of. If anything, we have even more to thank God for. Because he's blessed us to know what he's done for us. Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. I tell you, I don't know how many, I guess that's one point from Scripture that I've gotten more strange looks from people than anything else in the Bible. God just wouldn't be fair if that were so. You can just count on it, them saying it. But that's the truth, isn't it? And it's not because God loved Jacob more and Esau less. I know there's many that try to make that argument, but Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, is what the Bible says. God has chosen a people and passed over others. He didn't condemn them. He didn't choose some to heaven and some to hell. He chose some and he left the others right where they were in their own works. God provided mightily for them. And he only desired their praise and adoration. Now, isn't that something? What does God ask of us? Is it much more than just to follow him, love him, honor him? I mean, after all, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we love him, we're going to be keeping his commandments. We're going to love to keep his commandments. If we love God, if we keep in mind all that he's done for us, I don't think that's too much to ask, do you? He hasn't asked great things of us. You know, he hasn't asked us to go slay an army or build a city or anything like that, but to love him. Give our affections to him. The ones who's loved us with such an unconditional love and an everlasting love, isn't it? That's what he's asked us to do. Is that so hard? Well, it ought not to be. It ought not to be. But the key is remembering what he's done for us. Doesn't that endear you to him? All right. Sometimes we forget, don't we? So God provided mightily for them, and he only desired their praise and adoration. But sadly, they often forgot him and set their hearts upon the base things of this world. So also the church today is his peculiar treasure, that we should show forth the praises of him who had called us, called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You recognize that scripture? 1 Peter chapter 2. All right? That we should show forth the praises. That's what we're talking about, praising God. Why? Because of what he's done for us. You know, the wild Gadarean? Do you think anybody, when they saw him acting the way he was acting, do you think anybody ever for once thought that he would ever be worshiping Jesus? Or Saul of Tarsus before his Damascus Road experience? Do you think anybody ever thought he would be worshiping Jesus? You know, we pick on John Newton a lot. He's a prime example, isn't he? But I think we could find some examples a little closer to home, couldn't we? But he's called us by his grace. He didn't have to. There was nothing in us that would move him to do that. But by his grace, he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should show forth his praises. Not only praises for who he is and what he's done, but also we need to be praising him every day for calling us and letting us know about it. All right. So may we fulfill our calling and show forth his praises. Verse 5. For I know that the Lord is great. Do you know that tonight? Do you really? Do you really know that? Doesn't that what make you want to praise him then? For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Hallelujah. I tell you, these other religions you hear about, so many people that are wrapped up in, people that are willing to give their lives for something they think is going to happen after they're past this life. That's sad, isn't it? That they don't have the truth. That's another thing we ought to be thanking the Lord for, isn't it? That he's blessed us to know the truth. For I know that the Lord is great, excuse me, and that our Lord is above all gods. Do we know this? Then we are blessed. And the better and more often we acquaint and remind ourselves of his greatness above all gods through singing of hymns, the more our souls will be set in frame to praise and adore him. Now, do you believe that? If you do, then we ought to be adding more singing. Um, more praising. We think about how that sets our soul in frame. Prayer is so good. Singing is good. You know, whatever is encompassed in that passage that we quoted from Ephesians 5, speaking to yourselves. You know, sometimes when you're just right by yourself, or you could be a room full of people, but you could, within yourself, you could be thinking about the goodness and mercy of God. You could be praising God. You don't even have to make an audible sound. Aren't you glad? Just praise is like prayer. You know, they such a debate raged for years about whether to have prayer in school. You know, there's no law that's going to keep you from praying. It may keep you from speaking out loud, but there's no law that can keep you from praying. All right? Same is true with praise. We can praise the Lord. The gods of this world are nothing. Now, there are gods of this world with a little g, aren't there? People can make a god out of a lot of things. Doesn't have to be a graven image to bow down to. But anything that comes between you and the Lord can be a god. Anything. You might have good intentions, and it may be something that comes between you and worshiping God. So we have to be careful about that. And that's why that's where the Ten Commandments start out, isn't it? Have no other gods before you. None other. God is generous with his grace, but he's stingy with his glory. He's a jealous God, isn't he? Now, he has a right to be jealous, because in and of himself, he is altogether good and holy and righteous and pure. And we have every reason, or he has every reason to expect our affection and our praise. We're not like God. We're not God. And so jealousy among people sometimes is warranted, sometimes it's not. But God has every right to be jealous. Okay. So the gods of this world are nothing. Yet how much of our time and affection do they receive while the one true and living God is being robbed of his glory? Brethren, for the church to have its influence on our culture today, we must be giving God praise and thanking him for all blessings, that others could hear of his goodness and mercy and see our dependence upon him for now and forever. We don't have to wait for heaven to enjoy the blessings of God, do we? He's with us each day. He lives in our heart. We can rejoice in him every day because of what he's done for us. And when we have problems, when we have challenges in life, he's right there. He's a very present help in time of trouble, isn't he? All right? So he's our God right now, every day, and in all eternity we'll be blessed to praise him. The thing about that is, when we get over there, we'll be able to praise him as we should. Are you looking forward to that? With a perfect heart, perfect voice. I'm assuming a perfect voice. They're singing in heaven. Perfect body. And our condition will be forever new. That's going to be good, isn't it? It's going to be glorious. And it's going to stay that way. All right. What verse are we on? Verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth in the seas, and all deep places. I think that about covers it, doesn't it? In heaven, God is worshipped 24/7. Do you get the impression that God knew we wouldn't, so he created an environment where he would get the praise all the time around his throne? Also, he placed stars and heavenly bodies to praise him 24/7. Remember the heavens, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. And they're doing it all the time. I've had some say, oh, they can't praise God. Well, you're denying Scripture if you say that. God made a way for them to praise him 24/7. They're doing what he designed them to do, and when we see what they're doing, giving off their light and doing what God designed them to do, it's a praise to him. Because he made it that way, and it continues. And it's held that, well, continues that, not, let's see, Colossians speaks about how that he created all things, and by him all things consist. And that word consist in that passage means that they exist and they continue to exist by his power. So yes, they declare the glory of God. Okay. On earth, stubborn Pharaoh and haughty Nebuchadnezzar were no match to resist his will. You know, those are two outstanding characters in the Old Testament, aren't they? Not for outstandingly good, but how God showed his power. Now what Paul said in Romans 9, where he talked about, for this cause have I raised thee up. He said unto Pharaoh, for this cause have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. You know, when Moses first went down there to Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, who is this God that I should obey him? And he showed him. He had ample opportunities to learn something about this God. Nebuchadnezzar. You know, when the Hebrews were thrown into the fire, remember what Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar was enraged and before they were thrown into fire, remember what he said? And who is that God that shall deliver thee out of my hand? God showed him. God showed him. All right? No one has been able to resist the will of God. All right? In the seas, he prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, didn't he? We love that story, don't we? Not because we love Jonah, because how great our God is. And at other times, he stopped the wind and the raging of the sea by his command. I tell you, you got a lot of moving water and a great storm, you got a problem. But I've just tried to imagine how that must have been when the waves were just boisterous, or the wind was boisterous, and the waves were just crashing against and filling up the ship. And then Jesus said, peace, be still. And just like that, the seas became glass, and the wind ceased. Just at his voice. No man can resist his will. So in the sea, yea, all the deep places are at his disposal for Israel to cross the Red Sea. Remember, he parted the waters. It wasn't the Reed Sea, was it? It wasn't ankle deep water. All right? It was the Red Sea. I'm satisfied when that water divided, it mounted up high. I'm satisfied that the children of Israel were dwarfed as they walked through those towering walls of water that congealed for them to pass through on dry land. God did that. God is great. I tell you, our souls can feast a great deal on these simple stories of the Old Testament that just magnify the power of our God. It'll draw some praise out of you to think about how great He is. So, crossing the Red Sea, or to swallow up rebels who questioned His authority. Remember Him doing that? What was the man's name that led that rebellion? Korah. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. All right. For all this, surely there's reason to praise Him. All right. Beyond what has already been said, much more is enumerated to remind God's people of the manifold and glorious reasons why we should be praising Him. And several of these, Israel will be reminded of His mighty works for them personally. But we can rejoice in them as well. We enjoy those stories, don't we? All right, I understand when I say story. When I'm talking about a story from the Bible, we're talking about something that's true. We're not talking about fairy tales. We're not talking about once upon a time, something hypothetical. You know, there's more and more of that being pushed upon us, that the Bible, Old Testament, is really not literal. It's just figurative, you know. No, it really did happen. All right, so God showed His mighty works for them personally, but we can rejoice in them as well. Verse 7, He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders in the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. You know, in just a few words, when you read through those verses, so many things just come to mind from the Old Testament. How God, in His mighty power and all the miracles that was wrought upon the Egyptians in delivering them out of bondage. How God worked so mightily. And for several of those plagues, why, even the darkness came right up to the edge of Goshen. I imagine that looked kind of strange. But God, time after time after time, was showing His almighty power. Who smote great nations, not just nations, great nations, and slew mighty kings, not just kings, mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan. What was it, seven nations in the land of Canaan? The Amorites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and all those. All right. Sometimes He drove them out with hornets. That would drive me out. Other times they had to fight the battle. But by God's mighty power, He showed them His love for them. All right, and gave their land for an heritage unto the people of Israel, His people. Now you remember, they didn't have to go to a barren land and start cutting down trees. Let's say it this way. They didn't have to go to a wilderness and start cutting down trees to build houses and clearing land so they could start growing a crop. God drove those nations out, and He drove them out with such haste that there were houses they didn't have to build that were furnished. There were crops in the field. There were wells they didn't have to dig. olive yards and vineyards they didn't have to plant. I mean, God brought them into a place that was furnished. What a beautiful picture in Canaan of the New Testament church. I know heaven's furnished, but Canaan is a better type of the church than it is heaven, because they still had battles to fight in Canaan. It was hills and valleys. But bless your hearts, God brought them into a land that was furnished, and a land that flowed with milk and honey. How he blessed them in that day. That's something to sing about, isn't it? And that's something for us to sing about today. God's still in the business of providing for his people. And he provides mightily for us every day. These are great and mighty works. Can any other God manifest such power so plainly and accomplish his will against all others for the express benefit of blessing his people and showing to them his love and mercy? There's no other God that can do that. Because there's no other gods. That are the only gods that there are the imagination of the minds of men. Now, people can paint pictures, and people can make people believe something if they say it long enough, but that doesn't make them a god that has any power. And he's going to get to more of that later. Doesn't that deserve praise? All the things that God's done for us and is continuing to do, doesn't that deserve our affection, our trust, our allegiance? Certainly it does. But we spend far too little time reminding ourselves of his greatness. And it shows in a lack of praise. Verse 13. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. Now, is that all generations? Yes. That's an absolute all. Okay? Nothing will ever happen to diminish the name of our God. There may be those that'll try to discredit him. They may run TV series and take his word and change it and show their ideas of what things ought to be. But nothing will ever change the truth. Nothing will ever diminish the glory of our God. As Psalm 106:48 says, blessed be the God, the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen, praise ye the Lord. And by the way, when you see that praise ye the Lord at the end of these psalms, that speaks of a continuation. A continuation of praise. He's ever to be praised. He's going to be praised until Christ comes again. He's going to be praised forevermore in glory. Not a tick of the clock that he's not worthy of all praise and adoration. So may our generation lift up his praises. Verse 14, for the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. A lot of people today don't believe that God will judge. If there's a verse of Scripture, some folks, you know, one verse of Scripture that some folks know real well, and that's judge not, lest ye be judged. And the only reason they quote that is because they don't want you to say that anything they're doing is wrong. They're taking it out of context. That's one Bible verse a lot of folks know that don't know any other Bible. And come to think of it, they don't really know that one, do they? All right? For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. As needed, God does judge. Plenty of Bible for that. I should have put some references there, but I think we understand that. But when it is enough, his mercy will return. Now, isn't that wonderful? When you think of the long-suffering of God, when you think of, well, just take this nation, the sins that have to be so repulsive to God, that our government says that's legal, when it's a direct, in direct opposition to the Word of God. How long is God's long suffering? How long will He suffer long with this nation? You know, when you start thinking about those kind of things, you realize why we deserve the president we have. Until something changes, I don't see much hope for mercy. Now, I know there's always, His mercy endures forever. And our God is always in control. But we have to face the facts sometimes, don't we? But when it's enough, His mercy will return. Time and time, He judged Israel. And after He judged them, He delivered them. Because His mercy endures forever. And so over and over, He showed us that. We next see that when viewing the greatness of our God, the worship of any other is clearly pathetic. Saying, verse 15, "The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." You ever read that before? Somewhere else in the Bible? It's part of Psalm 115, isn't it? And that's in the list, by the way, at the beginning of the handout. And I didn't take the time to go into all of that. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? How pathetic it is that someone would cut down a tree and, like the scriptures talk about, cut down a tree and take part of it and build them a fire and warm themselves by it and take the rest of it and carve it into something to bow down to it. That's pathetic. But people have done that. People have done that. "They that make them are like unto them." That is, no life, no understanding. Okay? "So is everyone that trusteth in them." In conclusion, there's every reason for all who fear the Lord to be praising His name wherever they may be. Aren't you glad that God has chosen a people out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation? How marvelous is His grace that He would choose out a people in every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. And whether they ever hear the gospel, whether they ever blessed to understand the truth, He chose them out. Jesus came and died for them. They're His. They'll be with Him in glory. Now, we rejoice that we've had the privilege of hearing the gospel. And what a blessing it is for God's people to have that gospel preached to them. But I'm satisfied, just from scripture and from history, that there have been many of God's people who have lived and died and never heard the gospel from a minister. Now, being born of the Spirit, there are some things we know. It's not the fullness like we get it in the gospel, but you know there's a God. And that Spirit within you has a hope. You may not be able to describe it, but it's there because His Spirit is in us. So they may not have heard a preacher preach the gospel, but they may have heard the life-giving voice of the Son of God. that quickened them and gave them life. All right. So, in conclusion, there's every reason for all who fear the Lord to be praising his name wherever they may be. So it says in verse 19, "Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord." Now, in those expressions, that pretty much covered the nation of Israel, the priesthood, and all the others that he mentioned. But for us today, if we fear the Lord, doesn't matter what our station in life is, if we fear the Lord, it's because his Spirit's within us, giving us evidence we're one of his. Jesus died for us. So upon Zion, and by the way, Zion in the Old Testament represents the church in the New Testament, right? Not the church building, but his people. Upon Zion, God pours blessings, and from Zion will he be praised, all right, from his people. While many who know him fail to praise him as they should, may we be found joyfully adding to the anthems of praise until it is time to pass it on unto the generation coming after us. The heavens declare the glory of God 24/7. May God help us to do a better job in the days ahead, to continue to praise God till the time that we can pass it on to the next generation, for them to take care of their duty and for us to be with the Lord. Exhortations to praise for the servants of the Lord. We'll close with the doxology.